Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We are coming off and witnessing the final OTA, voluntary one, on Wednesday. Definitely get into that a little bit. Talk a little bit about what is going on for training camp. We got some news from Mike Vrabel on Wednesday, so we'll get into that. And, of course, Run TMC will make that happen. It's always great to have Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, talking shop. Obviously, we got David James over here making it happen, putting this thing together. There's a lot to get into, so let's open it up with just the OTAs themselves. The practice on Wednesday was a solid outing for Malik Willis. I was impressed with him. He had a really good red zone period. It was like a call it, so everything was just like on the move. It was a call it period, and so it wasn't scripted as far as like what they were going to do. It was called in. The defense got the call there. Defense, the offense got the call there. That's basically what it is. But it was a good series for Willis. Ryan Tannehill had a couple good throws. I got to see Kyle Phillips, which is something that we haven't seen as far as him making some catches. So he definitely got involved today. So that's a positive. I think Will Levis, though, that's one to look at. And Levis, he got fooled by Elijah Molden on one of the throws. Molden, as you know, is working in the back end of the defense. But in this case, he was dropped down in the box and was able to you know, go back in the passing lane and pick it off. It was a really good play by Molden. And then on the next play, it was kind of like a free play, right? And Will Levis tried to push it down the field, and L.J. Davis went up and got it. Now, I will say this, L.J. Davis, he's an undrafted free agent. He's a guy that they signed late after rookie minicamp. L.J. Davis is out of, let me look here just to see what school he is out of. I want to say Northern Arizona. Yeah, Northern Arizona. He made a couple plays, man. And this guy is, I'm seeing him make plays almost every practice. You know, he was able to knock down a pass across the middle. You know, the length, to be able to use his long arms to undercut the route and knock it down. And then he was able to go up and get his hands on a ball that was a deep pass from Malik Willis to Treshawn Harrison. He got his hand on it. He tipped it. Harrison showed great concentration, and he ended up catching a deflection, and it was a touchdown. But, you know, this is a guy that's getting his hands on football. I want to see, you know, how it continues to work for him. I'm not sure that he makes the roster, but he is a guy to definitely take note of. I say he's a long corner, you know, he's 6'1", 203, and you could definitely, you know, that length is shown, you know, so that's something to watch. A few guys in the secondary actually had some good days, you know. I mentioned Molden's pick. Trey Avery continues to be a consistent player as well. So it's going to be cool watching how all of that plays out. You talk about news, Christian Fulton, he was out on the field. At least for team stretch, he did some other work and then went in the building, but he came back out and he spoke with the media. In fact, here's Christian Fulton on some of the things that, you know, have gone into his decision to work out on his own and how things have been.
I'm feeling good. Body feels good. Just been excited, you know, about the work that I've been putting in, you know, since February. And, you know, I'm excited to be back around the team, been around them the last 2 weeks or so. And, you know, everything's been good. You know, the vibe's been great. Just, you know, standing inside, just wanted to get some extra work in the weight room. And that's what the coaches allow me to do. I mean, obviously with me not being on the field, you know, I just having to, you know, take the approach of doing everything I could off the field, whether that's film room, eating better, you know, studying, you know, my body movements, you know, just talking with my trainer, you know, all of us being on the same page, you know, with me going forward into the season. I mean, it was big, you know, just to try new things. I mean, I feel like it's everybody has their own way of doing things, you know, and everything doesn't work for everybody. You know, I've been here, you know, the last 2-3 off seasons, and, you know, I've had, you know, great time on the field, you know, being here. So I just wanted to try a different approach, you know, and see what it gets me, you know, moving forward.
Do you feel like it got you
to where you want to be right now, at least?
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel great. I mean, it's important every year, you know, to have a great year. I expect that of myself. So that was just my take on, you know, I wanted to do what I had to do, you know, to make sure I'm there for my team, you know, this upcoming year. I want to be out there. I will be out there 17 games. So that's the approach that I took.
So that was Christian Fulton. You know, obviously, it's something to watch, you know, him not being out there. He said that he's not injured and wasn't injured. So it begs the question, why isn't he out there? But either way, you know, that secondary is going to be fun to watch. I think, you know, when you're the 32nd ranked secondary against the pass, I think there's nowhere you could go but up. So let's see how they are able to do that. Sean Murphy Bunting, he wasn't at the final OTA. Neither was Danico Autry, Amani Hooker, Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons, Tierre Tart. I say all that to say it was a voluntary one, and most of the defense wasn't there. So it gave some of the younger guys a chance to step up. And that's where LJ Davis, as I mentioned, you know, he stepped up. Elijah Molden playing in the back end. You look at some of the other guys, like Matthew Jackson is a safety out of Eastern Kentucky that I've been impressed with. A very, very long safety, good movement. I've seen him make some plays. Shaim Carter continues to be involved as well. You know, he's working in multiple spots. So this secondary is going to be intriguing, man. And then once Caleb Farley comes back, that'll be something else to watch. But like I said, you know, they could go nowhere but up. It's going to be important, obviously, to have Kevin Byard there. And, you know, that goes without saying. But I think from a communication perspective, that's where it's the major importance. And that's something that Chris Harris, the DB coach, got into when I asked him about Byard and his impact. Here's Chris Harris.
It helps tremendously. KB's an ultimate pro. Been in the league 7 years. He's been in this defense as long as he's been here. And so he kind of knows the nuances throughout. And so he's a guy that can communicate. He can get things checked before it happens. He sees things before it happens, and he relays those messages along the back end, which is a great thing for us because communication is the number one thing in the back end. You know, silence is deadly as a secondary. You know, that's one thing we don't want to be, is silent. We always want to have constant communication.
How's he been in the meeting room where it's like, are there times where you could pause it and, you know, he'll, okay, this is what I saw, those type of things?
Yeah, he understands football. He understands the game. The game comes up. I'm not going to say easy because it's something I'm sure he's worked at, but it comes off as the game comes very easy to him. And, you know, being able to see the game through his eyes as well as my eyes, it's just been great.
So you look at that, right, and then you have Roger McCreary, you know, getting that work at nickel as well. You know, so you see guys actually having opportunities to do things that they didn't do last year in McCreary and Molden. They didn't do it as consistently. I'll say it that way. They did it, but not as much as I think they're going to do this year. So it's always good to see guys grow into new and expanded roles. We're going to definitely keep an eye on that. And training camp is going to be fun to watch. Another reason why it's going to be fun to watch, actually, and Mike Vrabel, he announced it on Wednesday that they were able to finalize having the Patriots come here. They're going to be here week three of the preseason. That game is on a Friday. So the Titans will leave Minnesota on a Saturday after having joint practices with the Vikings. They'll leave after the game on Saturday. They'll get back, obviously have the Sunday off. Monday, they'll, you know, probably get back in the building and get some things done. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, they're going to practice with the Patriots. So definitely mark your calendars for that. That'll be a good opportunity to see another team practicing against the Titans. I'm sure they'll have some open practices. And training camp itself, July 25th is the report date for them. So that would probably mean they'll be on the field, you know, 27th, 28th, something like that. So keep those dates in mind as we go through the preseason. And it's a period, right, where – this next 5 weeks, Mike Vrabel called it the most important 5 weeks of the season. And it's really all about, you know, what these guys are doing to prepare for the season. Ryan Tannehill talked about, you know, being able to refresh, right, and make sure that you're ready emotionally to handle the whole season. And that's something I think that goes underlooked, the emotional part of it. You don't want to get burned out. And you figure there's so much information that these guys have to process, man. Like, there's so much. So it is important to get that away time, to be able to decompress, because there's a lot that goes into a season. It's funny, Tannehill, he actually said that he was he got his pilot license, and he said he took his family up on a flight. His kids wanted to go back, go back up there again because they really liked being in the air. Mike Vrabel said hell no when he was asked if he would get on the plane with them, but I thought that was funny. But it's pretty cool to see Tannehill now flying a plane. You know, he was a captain of a boat. You know, that's he was, you know, sailing his own ship, and now he's flying. So I guess, you know, you do whatever you got to do to decompress, man, and get your mind off things. So, hey, more power to him. We'll see what some of the other Titans get into during the offseason. Definitely want to see as little action as possible, right? You know, that's one of the things you always kind of – I know as a coach, Mike Vrabel was probably like, oh, man, please, that's no drama, you know. And this Titans team has been able to avoid that for the most part, so that's a good thing. Let's see how that continues. You know, hopefully it does. But either way, right, it's going to be cool to get a little break and then come back, and we'll be off and running, right? You know, training camp and everything else. So looking forward to that. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
David has to make the music fade. The lights dim. And now, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, at shooting guard, number 8, Eddie Johnson.
And now, starring in the Jeffersons, Lionel Jefferson. Man, you look just like that dude. Man, what's going on with you, big dog? What's the word?
Hey, man, the word is the word. Got to see the last day of practice for the Titans.
How was it?
It was a good day. It was nice out, man. That's the thing I was so grateful for, man. I've been sick.
Oh, man.
I was sick on Monday and Tuesday, so getting out there.
What's wrong with you, man?
Oh, man, a little cold. That's all. I'm still fighting it.
Oh, okay.
Trying not to cough and stuff like that. So I can't have you making me laugh, man. I'll break out to a cough fit.
Sound like Al Jarreau with that, man. So tell me a little bit about camp, big dog. Everything good?
Everything has actually been good. You know, got to see Malik Willis on Wednesday. He had a really good day. He actually ended practice. Beautiful drop shot, corner to end zone to Mason Kinsey. He had another throw that was really nice in the back of the end zone to Alize Mack, but he went up with one hand and catching instead of two, so it ended up being incomplete. But I will say this, you know, Willis definitely has shown improvement. Levis had a bit of a tough day. Elijah Molden fooled him on one of them. He was able to drop back in the passing lane and pick it off. Then he was picked off on a tip pass, and then he just pushed one down the field, and L.J. Davis, one of the undrafted free agents, he got it. But he did have a nice throw to Chris Moore, you know, who everybody has kind of dogged as not being, you know, a good player. I get it. You know, he's not overly accomplished, but it was a nice catch, man. He went up and got the football, and there were two defenders on him, but he went up and got it regardless, so that was good to see. So, yeah, overall, it's been a good camp. I've been, pleased with what I've seen. Christian Fulton was back also, but, it's definitely been good.
You know, just looking at him talking about Malik Willis, man, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you kind of look at last year, I think he didn't have enough time to develop. Yes. I mean, when you're at a quarterback position, you know, wide receiver, you can get away with it because all we got to do is know coverages, who's blitzing, what's the shell of the defense. You can get away with it as a receiver, but as a quarterback, you got to know what every position is doing and the defense. You got to know the secondary. You got to know up front. You got to know the offensive line, you know, set the strength of where the blitzes come, all those things. And then also, you got to know where the receivers are. And then you got to know when the blitzes come, all those things. Mm-hmm. And I just think, TD, with all the things that were against him, with the offensive line to struggle with injuries, and you have receivers that were consistently in and out of the lineup, I just think he didn't have enough time to develop. But now he's get a chance to develop this year. You know, he's talking to different veteran quarterbacks. He's talking to different guys to got to get to try to get more experience. And that's why you're seeing a different guy from last year, because he's playing with confidence and now he knows what to do.
Yeah, that confidence and comfort level is something that he talked about after practice on Wednesday. I pulled him aside and asked about that. And it's really interesting to me how much that goes overlooked. You know,
absolutely, TD.
A professional athlete. Yeah, you're a pro athlete, and you should automatically be confident, but you're still a person, right? And so when you don't have that confidence, it's not as high as it should be, or not as it should be. It's not as high as it could be. You're not going to play to your utmost ability. And then also the comfort level. You know, having been through this process once already, it's definitely been good for him.
You know, T, it's kind of like this. I want to give this kind of like illustration. Just imagine if I didn't know how to swim, right? And instead of me getting in the kiddie pool, you pick me up and you throw me into the deep end. I'm not going to know what to do, and it's going to feel like I'm drowning. If you look at the situation this year with Malik Willis, he was thrown into the pool from day one. And when I say day one, you know, he automatically, instead of being the third quarterback, he was automatically second. And then when he had a chance to play, when Tannehill got hurt, He had to play in one of the biggest games of the year against Kansas City. So I think sometimes we need to pump the brakes. We need to step back and say, okay, you know what? He struggled a little bit. Sometimes he struggled with the reads, but he still needs time to develop. And I go to the YMCA, and I sit there and I argue with people all the time. The first thing they say, oh, he's terrible. He don't know what to do. And, you know, he can't help this team win. But you got to give him a chance. Just like we said, he's a human being, but give him a chance to develop into the player that he's capable of being. And that's kind of what we're seeing in camp. And last week, when I watched him, he looks like a different player. He looks like what you said. He looks confident. He looks poised. He listened to the offensive coordinator, and he's starting to make the right decisions. So you never know what might happen. It might be a competition between Will Levis and him for that second spot.
Yeah, and I think that is going to be the case. I think they carry three quarterbacks, but it's going
to
be
– they have to.
It's going to be something to watch, though, because it's like every rep that Will Levis gets, and that's a good one, it's going to have to be matched with Malik Willis and vice versa.
Absolutely. So
that back and forth is going to be a cool thing to watch. And then, oh, by the way, you got Ryan Tannehill learning a new offense as well.
I know.
That quarterback situation is tricky, but fortunately, you know, they have a guy like a Charles London in there to help make this thing happen. And you got Pat O'Hara, you know, so I'm curious how that's going to work out. But, you know, going into the offseason, you know, one of the things that Mike Vrabel said is that this next 5 weeks is going to be the most important part of the season, how they act outside of the building. Now, I'm not asking you to put words in Mike Vrabel's mouth, but when he says that, like, what does that make you go to? What do you think he's referring to?
You know, are you committed? I mean, are you definitely committed? Because the thing about it is, you can do well when everybody's around, but what happens when you are in these 5 weeks? Are you studying your playbook? Are you looking to film? Are you taking, you know, the notes that you took in the meetings? Are you trying to, you know, get better in that? And the thing about it is, if you look at it, and I'm not calling anybody else, if you look at the situation with Treylon Burks, he came into camp out of shape. Now he comes in this camp and he's in shape. So now he's a veteran guy. He knows what to do. So these next 5 weeks are going to be crucial, because he's got to stay in shape. He's got to read the playbook. He's got to take what the coaches, you know, taught him and starting to plan. Because if you sit around for 5 weeks and you don't do nothing, you go to Cancun and, you know, you go to California, you go to all these places, but you don't study your craft, you're going to take a step back as opposed to taking a step forward.
How do you go about that? Like, is that something that, you know, well, let me ask you this. Do they give you,
sure,
so if you're not there at the facility, let's say, you know, you're Treylon Burks, you decide to stay in Arkansas. Do they give you a set workout to do, or how does that work?
Yeah, they do. They give you a workout to kind of tell you what you're supposed to do. But the thing about it is, with me, I stayed in town. So that was kind of like a no-brainer for me, because the thing about it is, I'm going to take my trips. Yes, I'm going to do those things. But I'm going to make sure I'm dedicated and I'm committed to this team. And how do I be dedicated and committed to the team? By showing up at 8 o'clock in the morning, doing my weights. Then later on during the day, doing my sprint workouts. Then later on that day, you know, doing some yoga or stuff like that, because I'm committed to the team. So you're going to find out, you know, really quick when you start to get into camp, who's in shape, who's not in shape, on the first 5 and 6 reps of the practice, because they haven't been doing what they're supposed to be doing.
One of the things that Willis said was important for him was to, you know, pick up where he left off, like not come back. And he feels he's made progress, but he said pick up where he left, like not come back and be back to square one like he was in the beginning of this offseason. What do you think he has to do that?
I mean, the thing that is just take what, you know, Charles London and a lot of those coaches were teaching him. You don't want to just say, okay, well, I just kind of know a little bit and just, when I get into camp, I'll pick it back up. Every day he needs to go to the playbook. Every day he needs to go through those notes and say, okay, you know what? This is what I need to get better. I need to read coverages better. I need to, adjust on the things that, Charles London has told me to adjust. So those are the things that he has to do, because now, even though he's not a rookie anymore, he's still a rookie because he still doesn't have that experience. So he needs to take what he's learned and start to apply it in practice, not in practice, to apply it, why he had these 5 weeks. And I'm telling you, if he does that, it's going to be a crazy competition between him and Will Levis for that second spot.
If Christian Fulton was at practice on Wednesday, like actually on the field, in uniform, et cetera. He said he wasn't hurt, isn't hurt, and expects to be ready for training camp. What do you make of the situation with him as far as like if he wasn't hurt and isn't hurt, but he's not practicing?
Well, then why? Why are you not practicing? Why are you not out there? Because the thing about it is, okay, let me just break this down. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. Everybody else talks about that they want to be great. They want to be that shutdown corner. They want to be that guy. And you want to be that leader. But here's what leadership is. Leadership is doing it every single day, not when you want to. So I think for Christian Fulton, he has the potential to be one of the best cornerbacks in the league. But if he's not practicing, if he's on the sidelines, he's not doing what he's capable of doing, and he's not hurt, I think he's taking a step back because he's not getting the reps that he needs. And then also, too, he needs to be familiar with Chris Harris's voice. That's the quarterback's coach that's really helping these guys get better. So if he's not on the field and doesn't hear his voice, then he's going to take a step back. So that's why he definitely needs to be in practice and getting those not just physical reps, but getting those mental reps with Chris Harris.
Now, if he comes out first day of training camp and is on the field and working with the first team, et cetera, does all that just kind of get wiped away?
It does, but this is my opinion. I wouldn't put him with the first group. I mean, I wouldn't do that, because the thing about it is, the guys that have been here, the guys that have been working, the guys that have been training the whole time, I'm going to put them guys in because I feel like I can trust them when it's on the line. And when I say it's on the line, that means that when you're not even supposed to be here, say it's OTAs, but you're still here, it shows me that you're committed to the process. And I think that's where it takes to be a professional. I'm not putting nobody down. I'm just talking about if this was in my shoes. If I'm a professional, I'm going to make sure I do the right things. And that's basically what it boils down to.
What about Kevin Byard? What do you make of that situation? He wasn't on the field. There were plenty of defensive players not on the field, Jeffrey Simmons, Nico Autry, et cetera. But him not being there at OTAs on Wednesday.
I just got a bad taste in my mouth, and I just think that a lot of stuff is not unsettled. It's kind of like this, and I like to give an illustration. I remember one time, my mom told me to sweep the kitchen, but what I did, instead of sweeping up the trash and pick it up and throw it in the trash, I swept it under the rug. So even though I didn't see it, my mom bumped it, then all of a sudden she's like, why you didn't sweep that? I just swept it under the rug. But it didn't come to pass until I bumped it and I saw it. And that's the same thing kind of with this situation, TD, is we may not see that Byard's upset, but I think he's been bumped the wrong way, and I think he's upset about the whole process. And I'm not saying that, but it just feels like it, because the thing about it is, if you're the leader of the defense, you never miss OTAs last year and the year before that, then all of a sudden you start missing practice. I just think that there's an uneasy feeling of what they asked him to do and take a pay cut a while ago.
How do you settle that?
I think, I think three men, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel and Kevin Byard, need to sit in a room with no TV on, with no film on, and say, you know what? If we're going to go forward of being a championship team, we got to squash this. What we have to do is we got to set our ego aside. We got to set our ego to the door and say, you know what? What's best for the team? And if the best for the team is me staying here, then what we need to do, we need to push all that stuff behind us. Because the thing about it is, And I'm not saying this is going to happen, but all of a sudden the team started to lose. Then all of a sudden, all that stuff starts to bubble up to the surface that was hidden, like I said, under the rug. And now it comes to fruition because you bumped him in a way that he didn't want to be bumped. So they really got to squash it by just talking his man and putting their pride to the side and say, you know what? I understand what we did in the past. I understand that the rumors that, you know, that they came out that we asked you for a pay cut. But at the end of the day, what's the best thing for the team? And if the best thing for the team is having you on the team and being our starting safety, then we need to make bygones be bygones and put everything in the past. That's how you go forward.
Yeah, I think that probably would be the best thing for the team anyway, you know, having fired out there. Chris Harris, the DB coach, I was talking to him about how important communication is and how so much of that starts with Byard. So, yeah, you're 100% right there. I definitely agree with you. When it comes to other parts of the defense, though, do you think this front, like, do you think that they could have the potential to, you know, touch what they did, like, against the Bengals, you know, with the 9 sacks? Like, do you think they could have that type of impact on the game?
Oh, absolutely. And you know who's that defining piece is Arden Key. I mean, he is a dog. I mean, I know he lines up in a lot of different positions, but then you got Jeffrey Simmons, you got Autry, you got Tart, you got you got all these guys that are tenacious of rushing the quarterback. It's just going to make everybody better. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not just saying this. When I watched practice, you know, last week, that defense was flying around, and there was times that Tannehill would take a 3-step drop, and there was three and four guys in his face. So it just shows you, when they get on pads and they start blitzing and doing dogs and dog blitzes and all those things, there's going to be a lot of guys in the quarterback's face, and I think that that's what's going to make the defense great because of that front.
Who do you think leads the team in sacks?
Ooh. I know this may sound goofy, but just him being consistent, I think Autry's going to lead him in sacks.
I mean,
I know Simmons is that dog, but you know Simmons is going to get double teamed, and he's still going to make plays. But, man, Autry's just been consistent each and every year. So I think that he could lead him in sacks. I mean, you know, Simmons could lead him in sacks. But at the end of the day, I think that Autry, with him getting that one-on-one, you know, I think he can actually, you know, lead in sacks.
What do you make of Harold Landry, right? He hasn't – now, there was a report that he was running and doing things. They made it seem like he was going to be ready for OTAs, et cetera. But we haven't seen him. So what do you make of Harold Landry's his situation?
I don't think he's a part of the piece this year. I think he can be a part of the piece maybe later on during the season. Because the thing about it is, you're talking at a position to where you got to use your legs, you got to bend, you got to, you know, do all those things. And if you're not doing that now and it is June, how you expect to be ready by camp? And especially you're dealing with a knee. This is not an ankle. This is a knee. This is where you get a lot of your power from because, you know, it helps you with your hips and change of direction. So everybody knows that Harold Landry is a guy that's a speed rusher, a guy that comes off the edge. And if you don't have that explosiveness, I'm not talking about running and jogging, you know, on the treadmill. I'm talking about explosive movements. If he's not doing that by now, then that's a cause, that's a red flag, and that's a cause for concern.
Yeah, and especially a guy like him. He's like those speed bikes, you know, you see him lean to turn, you know, the way he's able to do that. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So do you think he doesn't have a big impact this year?
I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about a knee injury. If it was an ankle or something like that, I would say, yeah, but just, you know, the knee is totally different. And then we just talked about it. You got to be able – just imagine the knee that's hurt and he's coming off the edge and he has a plant real hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be tough. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. Look at Dupree. Dupree wasn't really doing anything until later on in the season, the first year they signed him. He wasn't doing nothing at the beginning of the year, but once he started gaining confidence and once he started getting that knee better, then that's when he succeeds. That's the same thing with Harold Landry. He's got to gain confidence on that knee. He's got to say, you know what, even though I hurt the knee, I trust the doctors. I trust myself to get that bend and get back to where he needs to be. But I just think that if they're just talking about they just saw a video of him jogging, that's kind of a red flag for me. And I don't think he's going to be ready for Cam when it comes through.
Yikes. Well, there you have it right there. Any parting shots? I'll give you a chance.
Yeah, man. I got some, man. I was watching the Cosby Show, and I was watching it. You know, me and my daughter, my son was watching it. And then this guy comes out on the show, and his name is Theo. And he was like, Dad, don't you work with TD? I said, no, man, that's Theo from Cosby Show.
I did used to have a shag, I ain't gonna lie. So we touched on Malik Willis in the opener, how he had a good day, especially red zone period. And I'll say this, you know, that throw that he made to Mason Kinsey was one that showed growth from an anticipation perspective. And that's something that is a part of comfort and understanding and confidence. You know, he was able to see that route come open before it actually did, and he threw it before Kinsey made his break, and it was right there. Perfect, perfect throw, corner of the end zone for a touchdown, and it ended practice on that note. That couldn't have happened better for Malik Willis to have your last throw be that. You know, he is a guy that, man, there was just so much put on him last year. And, hey, I'm not complaining for him because, look, you had a lot put on you, and that's because you're a quarterback in the NFL. I get that. But it's good to see the progress he's made from then to now. Whereas before, he looked like he just was, how do they say it, drinking water from a fire hose, right? And it just, he looked like he was suffocating. But now you watch him, he's going through his progressions, he's doing things as far as like being able to, you know, anticipate throws, being able to get in and out of the huddle effectively, the operation, everything is going really well. And I asked Mike London, the QB coach and pass game coordinator, about Willis and some of the progress he's seen from the start until now. Here's Charles London on Willis.
No, I think it's just really total command of the offense. I think he's done a great job. This offseason, he was tasked with coming in and kind of trying to take his game to a different level as far as just understanding the fundamentals of football, quarterback play, the offense. And I think he's come in and done a great job of doing that and preparing each day. And seen him get better with his footwork. I think he's got better with his timing. And as any just young player, just you want to continue to see the growth from practice to practice. And we've seen that from him. So hopefully these next 4 or 5 weeks, he can continue to work on the things we've asked him to work on and come back to camp ready to compete.
And how has he done just as far as like going through progressions, you know, not being a one read, just actually going through back and forth from that perspective?
You know, I think he's done a good job. Like I said, he's improved a little bit each day, and that's all we're asking for him. And he's done a good job of accepting the challenge and learning the offense, and we're excited about it.
And then with this being after this practice, you know, what are some of the things that you'll charge him with going forward, you know, through the offseason until training camp?
Yeah, sure. Just continue to build on the foundation that we've set these last few weeks. Like, for both he and Will, they can't come back here at the end of July. We can't start from scratch again. They've got to continue to improve, continue to study, continue to master the offense. So when they get back here at the end of July, we can hit the ground running and continue to get better each day instead of having to go back and rehash himself.
So as you see, I mean, there's an importance that a big importance that's placed on the operation. You know, that's key. And especially you look at this team, they're going to be looking to, you know, have a lot of tempo. Right, they want to be able to get in and out of the huddle. They want to be able to, you know, catch defenses in bad situations, bad packages. And the way to do that is to be able to communicate, right, and be able to get the play called, get everybody lined up, and make it happen, right, that up-tempo type of offense that they're going to look to use. So I think that's important, right, and that's why the operation, there's so much of an emphasis placed on that. The thing I like about Willis, though, and – It's something that it showed last year. Nothing seems to be too big for him. Now, granted, he has some statements like when he said he'll be okay, you know, regardless of the result, you know, win or lose, or something along those lines after the Texans game. He caught a lot of slack for that. But I think what he was saying is he understands perspective in football, right? So that's a good thing that he has that. But at the same time, you want to see a guy get pissed off about losing, right? You want to see that. So I get where some of the people, you know, had an issue with him saying that. But I think that perspective really has allowed him to be able to take all of this in stride, right? You know, some guys would be devastated if you came in, right? You had the quarterback of the future sticker placed on you. Right? You were thrown out there unprepared, not in a good situation. I'm not going to say unprepared, but you were thrown out there and put into a situation you shouldn't have been put into. You struggled, of course, but as he said, it's a results-oriented business. he understood that. You know, he took accountability for that. But they draft a quarterback. They trade up to draft another quarterback. Now, that could be devastating to some. But he seems to have taken it in stride, you know, and he said it's not a competition between them. He's competing with himself and just looking to go out and make himself better in the ways that he can and not make the same mistake twice. And I think that part is really important as well. So you're getting to see Malik Willis, you know, kind of make a mark. I'm looking forward to seeing how that battle with Will Levis goes in training camp. That's going to be something to watch. And imagine if Willis comes out and he lights it up, you know, what do you do? I think the Titans have to keep three quarterbacks anyway. So you're not going to be able to release Willis, in my opinion. If you do, I think a team will scoop him up with the quickness and just have to keep all three. And that's something that some people will be against, but I think it's something that you have to do. But either way, we'll see what happens, man. I'm really looking forward to training camp. We're going to, you know, take a break next week. We'll be back to talk a little more shop. It's time to start getting some of our off-season guests coming on. So we'll definitely work on that and bring you more content and shows. So I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely continue to check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. We are right here. Definitely search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review.